Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
So that's the problem with the Knicks, and that's the problem with the Phoenix Suns, and that's the problem with Chris Russell. He don't want to listen.
All right, good to have you with us. Final hour of power. Before we get out to the calls, I know Little wants to weigh in on Davey Martinez, and I'm sure also the RFK situation. I was just reading a little bit more from the Post, and we're going to hear from Mark Seagraves in a sec. Zachary Parker, a council member, from a Democrat from Ward 5, said they talked about, during this meeting last week, keeping the money in the RFK deal while taking out the policy language around the deal so that they could possibly amend it. So that sounds like, all right, the money stays in, but some language type stuff going to have to change. Quote, "It is my belief that the deal will get done," one D.C. city council member said, Parker. "We will safeguard the money and vote on this project sometime this fall." That's what he said in social media. The problem is Bowser and her office agreed to the Commanders as a July 15th deadline. And once it becomes July 16th, the team can negotiate with Maryland again, Virginia again, or whoever again. What happens if St. Louis wants them? Ooh. But in addition to the exclusivity window closing on July 15th, right? There's also a problem that if the council, quote, materially changes the deal terms, that's in violation of the agreement as well. So again, they can approve the money, but if they try and change the language and it's considered by lawyers, I guess, a material change, then that violates the deal that the commander struck with Bowser and DC. And she said, even if the council voted to approve the money, that would mean little without them approving the terms. She said the team can't take that to the bank. I don't know exactly what that means. I guess the bank that's fronting the investment? I don't know. So you not only have the money, but you also have the terms of the deal. And again, I don't know what in the world the D.C. City Council would build without making some sort of an investment on that property. Unless they just want, when RFK is demolished, a big open parcel of land that they control. But otherwise, they were going to have to spend, I mean, a couple hundred million at least to do anything with the land. Anything for infrastructure, anything. You know, there's electric infrastructure, there's water pipes and all this stuff they explained to us. And I'm not an expert in it, so I don't want to speak too far on it. But that's part of the deal. And here's what I would guess. I don't know, but I would guess is part of the problem on the material changes element. Apparently, the Commanders were going to pay $1 per year in rent on the stadium and parking land. So apparently the D.C. City Council wants them to pay more than that, which, God, makes sense, right? So maybe that's the material change, meaning we'll approve the $1.1 billion investment, but we want $100,000 a year. We want $500,000 a year. in rent on the stadium and parking lot. That's a material change. It's not saying no to the money in of the investment. It's the D.C. City Council and the opponents saying, we don't want to pay $1.1 billion, or it's closer to like $1.2 from what I remember, and give them the land for free. Because remember, they control the land. The Commanders are not buying the land. They're essentially renting the land. So they don't want to give it to them for a dollar a year, which makes sense, right? So I think it's reasonable. I think it's reasonable on both sides. The Commanders are saying, hey, man, we invested $2.7 billion. We are going to bring a crown jewel to Washington, D.C. that's going to bring in lots of jobs, lots of tax revenue, lots of interest, lots of buzz, lots of marquee events that you don't have. We need a break. We need no rent. We need this. We need that. All right. Get it done. I mean, it looks like, again, the money that D.C. City Council was expected to pay in the deal, it looks like, again, that is fine. Looks like. But the material changes could be that $1 per year in rent. All right. Let's see, get out to the phones and get to Little, who's been standing by for a while. Little, I know you wanted to talk Davey Martinez, but I assume you want to weigh in on RFK. Go right ahead.
Rooster, Carter Doodle-Doo. Shout out to your man, A-Mac. Let me help you out, Rooster, DMV. District of Columbia don't do the new fiscal report by June 15th through July the 15th. The federal government does their new fiscal report October 15th to November. So once the mayor get that new fiscal report incorrect, get it rectified, man, the stadium happening, no matter what. But they don't tell y'all everything. But, you know, being though I got a little inside, I got a little scuttlebutt, so I kind of bring it to the table.
All right, but let me ask you this, because I don't know what exactly that is. So you're saying from June 15th to July 15th, and July 15th is the deadline,
right? That's the District of Columbia. Yeah, they got 30 days to do their new fiscal report. Then they find out where they're going at when it comes to the taxes and the budget. It's going to happen, Rooster. There's just so many people behind this, man. It's going to happen. So everybody
right,
can take a little rest and see what's going on.
But it could happen. And even, again, one of the D.C. City Council members is saying it could happen.
Yeah.
But they want to change the terms of the deal.
Yeah, right. Well, all that's going to be brought up in the meeting. So they get ready to start a new fiscal report at the Wilson Building. Probably next week. With the 15th of June. We coming up on the 15th. They probably started if the 15th fall on the holiday.
Well,
on the weekend,
today is June 16th, so we're already into that window. But I guess what I'm saying is they're saying, or at least this one council member is saying, hey, man, we're probably going to approve the terms of the deal. A, we need more time, and B, apparently, again, there's these material changes. So you can do whatever you want, but if they're trying to change the terms of the agreement and the contract, depending on what exactly they're asking for, meaning the D.C. City Council, that could be enough to break the deal, is my point.
That's right. You got that part right. And so they get ready to probably start all the little board meetings coming together next week, moving forward. They got 30 days, 28 days. Look, now let me say something about Dave Martinez. He went back. He snatched gold last week. I ain't talking about the last stock gold put out. I'm talking about they was winning, and he snatched gold out of the game. But I don't understand why. But I'm going to use one situation with Martinez as a parable because I'm a football man. But I know damn well you got to try to lay that bunt down and try to move a runner. When the last time we seen somebody bunt a runner over? He keep talking about magic. It ain't the magic. Come on, man. That's how you get the momentum going. You bunt a runner over. You steal some bases like you did 2-3 years ago. We don't see nobody running the bases no more than nothing. So that's coaching. All I can say is that it's a span, Rooster. They won it all in 2019. So, look, it's a 10-year gap. I'm giving them 10 years till they get back in 2029. Lord's will, I hope I'll be around to see it. But it's a 10-year gap. But they can do, I'm going to tell you now, if I was them, I go out there and get that kid from that guy from the Mets. I can't think his name. He was a left-handed batter. I bring him in there because he already enthusiasm. What's that guy's name, man? I know you know what I'm talking about, Rooster.
You're not
they
talking
got him from the Mets.
Oh,
give me a name.
Oh, Daniel Murphy? You mean years ago, or you mean recently?
Yeah, he played, but he's enthusiastic. I think he'd be a hell of a manager moving these young kids.
You mean for the manager? Okay, I thought you were talking about to infuse the roster,
or even Ryan Zimmerman. You bring me somebody in that can motivate these kids, man.
Yeah, I don't think Ryan Zimmerman is that personality, but
man, give me a batting coach, give me a pitching coach, give me somebody. Hey, look, God bless y'all. Stay up, man. Look, one other thing. Shout out to the defenders. And look, shout out to my man, Chris. He always give you a rough time, Rooster. Chris is sweet Lou.
They all give me a rough time.
Hey, Rooster, he's timed up for you. Hey, God bless y'all. Stay up, man.
I appreciate you. Thank you, Little. I don't know who exactly he's talking about. I'm trying to think. In terms of... somebody from the Mets that would be a manager. I'm trying to think who that would be. I mean, the only name that jumped out in my mind was Daniel Murphy, who was back over the weekend. Saw him on TV yesterday. Unless I'm missing something, Murph's not managing or he's not coaching. But that's the only name I could think of. And as far as this June 15th, I was still a little confused on that. Listen, the Commanders basically say, we set this deal up so that we could open the stadium by 2030, so that not only can we play our home games there and get all these great concerts and whatever, some of which they do get at the current stadium, but many more of which they can get at the new stadium. But also, and this is fair, right, whether they would win the bid or not, the 2031 Women's World Cup would be a huge thing, which, according to the Post, a team spokesman specifically mentioned. I think a delay... can we be reasonable here and say, all right, how about by July 31st? How about by August 15th? You can't do October 15th. Can you do August 15th? Can you give us an extra month to make sure we have all of our bills in order, all of our numbers in order, all of the information that we need, all of it? Can you do that? I don't think that's the end of the world. Maybe I'm missing something, but I don't think that's the end of the world. I mean, July 15th is like, it's a deadline that you created. It wasn't a deadline of, hey, DC City Council, what do you think is reasonable? What do you think is fair? Oh, we don't think we need until at least September 1st or September 15th. Nope, we're going to do July 15th. No, that's what you decided to do. That's the agreement you decided to make, knowing full well that you needed the DC City Council's approval. This sounds like what I'm reading is a power play tactic, a leverage tactic, which is fine. That's the way business works. But you can't get all pissy. You can't get all furious over a deadline that might not be met because you decided that was the deadline. Not them. It's not what they agreed to. It's what you agreed to. That's not fair. That's like... And I guess the world kind of works this way, right? I mean, your boss comes to you and says, listen, I need this blank, fill in the blank, whatever it is. Sales report, project, numbers, whatever, by... July 1st. You're not agreeing to that. Your boss is saying, this is when I need it by. This is when it's due by. So that's the tactic that the Commanders are using. look, this isn't a negotiation between us and the D.C. City Council as far as the deadline. This is the reality. We struck a deal with an agreed-to deadline by the mayor's office that the mayor's office would provide a budget and all the relevant information by a certain point. I know that was a little bit late in happening. I don't remember the exact date. And that the D.C. City Council would have at least a month and a half, whatever it was, to agree to the deal. And now they're saying, they need more. But remember, just to be fair to them, they weren't consulted in this. This isn't boss-employee relationship, essentially. This is politics, man. Muriel Bowser, to my knowledge, is not the D.C. City Council's boss. But essentially, the commanders and Bowser are treating it as, hey, we told you there's a July 15 deadline. And I guess the D.C. City Council was expected to jump and say how high. And instead, they're saying, eh. We'll approve it when we're ready to approve it. And if that costs exclusivity, fine. Go make another deal. What I'd be really interested in to see is if they don't approve this, if they don't extend the deadline and the period of exclusivity expires, do the commanders have the onions to go out and make another deal? Do they just accept that and immediately go back to Landover? Or do they take their time, hoping that the D.C. City Council gets pressured, hoping that they approve the deal, hoping that it's soon after July 15th, and so that they don't have to go out and make another deal? That's what's going to be interesting about this. On the Team 980 and the Odyssey app, we continue. Little mention the D.C. Defenders. Hey, they won a championship over the weekend. I'll tell you what and how next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
So I just walked out into the bullpen. Normally I get abused by Anthony Haney, who's coming up with Greg Hoffman at 4 o'clock. But today it was great because my son just yelled at me and elbowed me and tried to hurt me. Because
what did you do?
I had the audacity, not the Odyssey, the audacity to put his phone on the charger. He was not happy.
Why would you do that?
Because I'm a smart dad. And I said, you know, 100% or closer to 100% is better than 78%. You get it? Like, if you have a phone battery, right?
I get what you're saying.
Like, I don't know what your phone battery is at. Like, I don't even know where my phone... Oh, here it is. Like, my phone... battery is right now at 79%.
Mine is at 76.
76, okay. Now, I normally wouldn't mind because I know during my hour and a half commute home, I can charge my phone. But I've got him.
Mm.
He burns through his battery like nobody's business because he's always watching video and he's got a slightly older phone, so his battery's not as good.
Yeah.
And he's got headsets that he wants to charge. Mm. And I'm like, Ty, just while you're playing on the computer and doing the same thing you've been doing for 2.5 hours and shaking down GP for Diet Mountain Dew and Cheez-Its, like just put the phone on the damn charger.
Yeah, I hear that.
And he got mad. So that was awesome. And then he said, I love you. Okay, thanks.
It's nice to see you're still here, though.
Yeah,
you've made it through.
Exactly. Just finishing up on, and before we get to the defenders, so apparently in a slide, like they did not present us with this 6 weeks ago or whatever it was when they announced the deal, but apparently So council members and reporters have been asking questions because the Post has limitless resources. They just have people that literally their full-time job is just trying to track this stuff down. They got the D.C. government, Bowser's office, the administration, whatever, to post what's called a slide deck, which summarizes revenue projections for the RFK site project. And so apparently there was a prediction that it would generate $5.1 billion in tax revenue over a 33-year period. But lawmakers, D.C. City Council opposition, want to know a more detailed explanation of how the firm that Bowser's administration that they hired arrived at those numbers. And apparently that information didn't happen or didn't arrive, according to Phil Mendelson, until Friday. Apparently the company the city hired to develop the revenue projections met with the council's budget office. And Mendelson again said to the Post that they got his understanding is they got all the information they need just today. Apparently, there was something called a tax abatement financial analysis. I have no idea what that means. Basically, DC law requires ahead of a council hearing on any bill that would include a tax abatement or exemption. So I guess I shouldn't say I don't know what that is. The commanders are looking for tax exemptions. In addition to having to pay $1 for the land per year, in addition to what the DC government investment is. So, like, who knows? You got a month now to really get after this. I assume some of the council members take vacation at this time of the year. I don't know how that works. I really don't. Here's what I want, and here's what I can say, and here's how I can summarize this. This project is way too important to a lot of people, both residents of D.C., non-residents of the district, meaning Marylanders and Virginians, Commanders fans, workers, and positive publicity for the city, not to mention the influx of that tax revenue. This is way, 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 way too important. You better not frickin' take a day off. A day off. If the July 15th deadline is so unreasonable, not a single day. Not one. Not July 4th. Not yesterday. Not today. Not tomorrow. Not a single day. If the July 15th deadline is so problematic, not a day. Work. Get it done. It's too important. It's too important to everyone to get this deal done. You must get it done. If July 15th is that important. Now, if we're talking about material changes, then we're talking about something different. But if it's just about a July 15th deadline, then seems reasonable to me that you're not going to study much more and learn much more after July 15th than you're going to learn now on June 16th and in the subsequent weeks ahead. But if you're going to go on a two-week vacation on a yacht somewhere and tell me you don't have enough time, then that's a problem. That's an issue. Don't do it. Don't put us in that situation, because this project is way too important. The D.C. Defenders are champions of the UFL. Tell you how they got it done over the weekend next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Indeed, the D.C. Defenders are champions, beating the Michigan Panthers in St. Louis on Saturday night to win their first ever UFL championship. Meanwhile, the Nationals, busy doing anything but win championships, they've now lost 8 in a row, swept by the Marlins over the weekend, who even after that sweep are now 28-41. Tonight they host the hapless Rockies at 14-57, but the Rocks scored 10 runs in a win over Atlanta yesterday. 645, 1067 The Fan, Odyssey app, Nats Radio, Charlie and Dave. Brady House going to make his major league debut if the rain holds out. The Orioles are now ahead of the Nationals in terms of overall head-to-head record, a half game ahead at 30-40. They visit surging Tampa Bay, who just swept the Mets at Citi Field this weekend tonight at 7:35. Meanwhile, Giancarlo Stanton going to make his season debut for the Yankees tonight as the Yanks visit or host the LA Angels after he's missed the entire year. And Joey Chestnut is back in the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. We mentioned this earlier on July 4th after skipping last year. NBA Finals Game 5 tonight, series tied 2-2. OKC hosting the Indiana Pacers at 8:30. And that's what's trending.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Second and four. Numbers say pass, and that's what they do. And right into the arms of Brandon Sanders, the two former SEC Ole Miss Rebels hooking up to Abu to Sanders. DJ Miller had coverage.
Boy, every time Braylon Sanders gets the football, something good happens. You mentioned
One of Jordan Te'amu's touchdown passes Saturday night. The DC Defenders, baby. Win. The UFL Championship. After a 6-4 regular season, losers of 2 in a row to end the year, they go to St. Louis, smoke them in the playoffs, a team with a great home field advantage. And then they go back to St. Louis, where no fans showed up. Very few. And smoke the Michigan Panthers, who had made it through the USFL side, all the failed football leagues. It's the UFL is the league. The USFL, which was once a Donald Trump production, and then the XFL division are the two divisions. The Defenders won the XFL championship, or division, if you will, last week by beating St. Louis in St. Louis. Michigan beat Birmingham, and then they met for the UFL title on Saturday night in St. Louis neutral field. As it was pointed out several times on Twitter and X, boy, do they need to have the championship game at the home site, because Audi Field would have been rocking. Not that it isn't normally, but for a D.C. City championship, or for a championship game for the D.C. Defenders to have 19,000 people there and to have some sort of like feel that the game was actually played and is part of the city's fabric, that was kind of weird. I remember 2 years ago when they were in the first, well, back then it was, I think, still the XFL. I don't know. They've changed names so many times. They're in the championship game, and they played it in San Antonio. And they got smoked in that game, and nobody even knew the game existed. And I had been at one of the playoff games, I guess the playoff game the week before, and had a great time. I was hanging out with Shin, Tommy Levero, a bunch of other people from the station. What a great time. And then they played in the championship game, and it was only like Defenders got rocked, and nobody even knew it existed because it was in San Antonio. Nobody went there to San Antonio. Now, I did see, a handful of Defenders fans that they kept showing in the fourth quarter on TV down at one of the end zones, one of my guys, Evan, who I've known forever, his parents are wonderful people. He is a diehard DC Defenders fan. He goes to all the home games, but he was actually on the road, and he was the one dressed up. I forget what exactly was his outfit, but he is a diehard.
Do we have any Snake Cup action?
Well, he put it together.
Ooh.
Yeah, so they were chanting, we want the what is it called? The Snake Pit?
It is the Snake Cup. But that
Snake
was,
Cup, whatever, yeah. Whatever it is. You know, they were chanting they wanted that with like 12 minutes left to go in the game. And then just a couple of minutes later, he actually had a huge stack of cups in his hands. The guy that I'm talking about, him. So the Defenders went to St. Louis and beat Michigan, 2-6-4 teams in the regular season, 58-34. 58-34. And Jordan Te'amu had 5 touchdowns to his, and one of them you just heard, had just a brilliant one in stride near the end of the first half, I think after Michigan scored. I'm trying to pull it up in the box score, but for whatever reason on ESPN, they don't allow you to actually, I don't know, pull up any information in the box score. It's just the score, which is kind of weird, right? But, I mean, I watched a bunch of it. Honestly, I'd be lying to you if I told you I remembered that it was on. Only did I see it on Twitter because I followed the DC Defenders, did I go, oh, wait a second. They're actually playing for a championship. Look at this. Look at this. And they kicked Michigan's ass. I believe they were... significant might be a stretch. They were underdogs going into that game. They may have been significant underdogs. As you know, I'm not Mr. Gambling. I don't really pay... That's not the first thing I pay attention to because I think it matters none. But... I'm pretty sure they were underdogs in that game, and they kicked their ass. So good for them. I mean, listen, does it change anything for the league? No. It's spring football. It's still a lot of players that we don't know the names of. It's still seemingly a league that I'm not sure how it's exactly existing. I don't know. I can't imagine they're making money. But, you know, when you have the money that The Rock has and his partners have, his ex-wife and others, I'm sure they'd like to make money, but they're probably just trying not to hemorrhage money. And I don't know exactly how they're doing all that. I mean, obviously, centrally locating the teams. For those that don't know, the DC Defenders do not practice here. They travel to every game, whether it's a home game or a road game. But they're based all 8 teams are based down in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And that's how they somewhat control costs. I mean, there's cost involved, but they somewhat control costs by centrally locating them and not having to have 8 facilities hosting practices and meetings and all of that. They can rotate, okay, on a Tuesday, the XFL Defenders, the DC Defenders might practice and meet from 9 a.m. to noon. Well, the Houston Roughnecks probably meet from 12:30 to 3. And maybe the San Antonio Rough Riders practice from 3:30 to 6 at the same facility and have the same meetings. I don't know if that's exactly how it works, but, I mean, you know, Hazlitt used to coach in the league before they consolidated the 2 leagues, XFL and USFL, into 1, and that eliminated the Seattle team, which actually had, again, played here in D.C. against the Defenders in a game that I think they won. I can't remember now. But yeah. And then look, consolidated league, the head coach quit 5.5 days before the season started. His defensive coordinator, a name very familiar to you, and that was Reggie Barlow. His defensive coordinator, a name very familiar with you, to you, Greg Williams. Remember him? He quit right as the season was beginning. I don't know if it was like right at the same time as Barlow quit or if it was right after that, but Barlow took the Middle Tennessee job because Eddie George, I think, went and got the Bowling Green job. So literally like 5.5, 6 days before the season opened, think about this. Dan Quinn, week one against the Giants on the Monday before week one, quits. And so does Joe Witt Jr.
We beat him that bad, huh?
No, before that game. Before that game.
Got and that then, scared.
And then they go on, play the regular season, and win the Super Bowl with Dan Quinn and Joe Witt Jr. quitting the week of week one. Think about that. Think about that. Think about how crazy that is. Now, again, we should point out it's a different level of football. But still, from a team aspect, that's pretty nuts. Pretty nuts that happened. And yet they won a championship. And they won it running away on Saturday night. Now, do I expect a big parade down Constitution? No, we just had that. I don't think we're getting any parade. I don't even know if anybody noticed. I mean, outside of the 19,000 or so people that go to the games, I'm not sure if anybody else noticed. But kudos to them. Congratulations to them. It's a great performance, number one. It's a great job persevering and overcoming. Kudos. Excellent. Well done. And now they got a CBA that runs through the 2026 season. So we think, I assume, there'll be at least one more year, and then we'll see from there. But congratulations to the DC Defenders. Tonight, game five of the NBA Finals. Tonight, the Nationals try and snap an 8-game losing streak against the horrible Avocado Rockies. Yes, the Avocado Rockies, as Tyler likes to call them. Not the Colorado Rockies, the Avocado Rockies. They're in town. Woo! Doesn't get any better than that. 9,000 of your best friends going to be gathered in the rain at Nationals Park tonight to see Brady House's debut on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. We wrap it up. Dumb Dumb of the Day next. All right, everybody. This is going to be a different one than we normally take on, but everybody was just shocked and horror by what happened in Minnesota this weekend and the double murder that Vance Bolter apparently committed. I say apparently because, you know, just for whatever purposes. Well, he was arrested finally Sunday in a field about an hour or so away from Minneapolis. And made his first court appearance today. He claimed that he owned a home and 7 cars. A home and 7 cars. He was sitting next to a defense lawyer after committing, allegedly, these crimes. He said to the judge, after doing this, allegedly, that he can't afford a private lawyer, that he only has a part-time gig that brings in about $540 weekly. But again, he does have, apparently, a home and 7 cars under his name. So the judge turned around and asked the public defender's office to look into the financial situation and then agreed ultimately that he likely can't afford a defense lawyer as he faces multiple murder charges and attempted murder charges. And I just found out, to make this even worse on top of already being bad enough, as part of the couple that he allegedly murdered, their dog, a rescue dog, was also unfortunately injured and had to be put down by the couple's kids after they found out that their mom and dad had been gunned down. And now this guy, who allegedly committed these acts, who used to work for Tim Walz, who ran for vice president just a few months ago, who dressed in this weird mask and arrived at people's houses at 2 in the morning and 3 in the morning. Apparently, this guy doesn't have enough money to hire a private defense lawyer. So, we're going to have to spend more taxpayer dollars to defend him, to give him the right of proper defense. And God knows what else comes after this, because he can't afford, even though he's got 7 cars and a house in his name. And this is the world in which we live in. And if you want to know why a lot of people stayed away from the D.C. parade on Saturday, one of the reasons why, there's a lot of wackadoos out there, and you never know when you're going to run into one. I mean, again, allegedly, he's an assassin who killed 2 people, a dog, and attempted to murder 2 other people on Friday night into Saturday morning. Could not have been found a minute too sooner, and deserves to, I'll leave my political feelings on that alone, but you get the point. Go hire your own damn lawyer, you dumbass. All right, that's going to do it for us. Back tomorrow. Thanks to AMAC. Thanks to you. No thanks to you. You guys did a poor job today. On the phones, at least. It's okay. It's my job to make you care. Craig Hoffman up next. See you tomorrow at 1. Adios on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Thank you. Yeah, you can go sit down, Rooster. Goodbye.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.